Feel free to interrupt at any time. Okay, let's begin. It's been a while, but let's continue in the sitter. I apologize only a little bit, not totally. We're not going to begin the sitter technically yet. I want to discuss for one more week what it means to say a bracha. Last time we discussed only one word. We discussed the concept to say the word baruch, and hopefully in the last few weeks, you've taken that with you and used that in your own recitation of bracha to understand what the word baruch means. I want to talk today about what is the purpose of a bracha. What are we accomplishing when we make a bracha? Because really, tefillah is a series of brachos. And the more we understand brachos, and I'm not going to focus too much on birchas hananen, brachos on food and things like that, but the more we understand what a bracha is in general, hopefully the more relevant our tefillah will be. We know that Chazal established the format, what we call the matbeya, the situation, the coinage, the usage of what a bracha should be for all brachos. There are brachos for pleasure, there are brachos for mitzvos, there are brachos for praise, and the tefillos we use are built around an order of brachos. We'll look at the Rambam here in Hilchos Brachos in Perek Aleph. V'nusach kol ha-brachos, Ezra beisino tiknum. Ezra is based and established the what a bracha is. Ve'ein roi l'shnosim, you cannot change it. V'lo l'hosif, alechas man, you cannot add to it. V'lo l'gro mimani, you cannot take away from a bracha. V'cho ha-meshanim imabeya shetavu chachamim brachos, einu elato. Anyone who changes one of the brachos made by Chazal is making a mistake. We don't make up new brachos based on how we feel about society and based on how we feel about what's going on in our lives. The Rambam, again, in Perek Aleph, in Halacha Dalet says, Nimtzu kol habrachos kulan shloshim inim. There are, in fact, three types of brachos. Birchos anaya, a brachos of a pleasure, birchos ha-mitzvos, a bracha on a mitzvah, and birchos hoda, and a bracha of thanking Hashem. Shein derech shevach v'hodaya. And to thank Hashem, to request of Hashem, and to fear Hashem. Now, there are so many different brachos and halachos of making brachos. In fact, there's an entire masechta. We're all familiar enough with the Daf Yomi to know that there's a whole masechus of brachos. There are many specific rules about making only brachos made by Chazal, right? The idea that we just said, kol ha-meshana mimabeya shetavu chachamim. Whoever goes and changes a bracha is a terrible thing. There are brachos for all types of mitzvos and situations. There are tens of chapters, simanim and Shulchan Aruch, deal with brachos. And perhaps most beautifully, the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Laman Amar Aleph says, Hayman deboy lemahavi chasid. Whoever wants to be righteous, do you want to be a righteous person? You want to be a chasid? I don't mean with the pious, but to be a pious individual. So lekayim milsa de brachos. Learn hilchos brachos. The more you learn hilchos brachos, and the more you learn about brachos, the better a Jew, the better a human being you will be. We really want to understand why. What is about a bracha that we're doing when we recite it? Now, let's talk about the stringency of a bracha. We cannot change a bracha. We can certainly not add a bracha, make up new brachos, about a situation that was not designated prior by Chazal. A person who makes a bracha when they are not supposed to has made what we call, we all know, a bracha levatala, has made an unnecessary bracha, a bad bracha. And some say he's violated the third commandment, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokach L'Shav, you're taking God's name in vain. It's even forbidden to make what we call a bracha, Sheina Tzricha. Again, I don't want to get into Hilchos Brachos regarding food, but just understand the definition of a bracha Levatala versus a bracha Sheina Tzricha. A bracha Sheina Tzricha is, for example, if you're having cereal and milk, and you make a bracha on the cereal, also make a bracha on the milk. Now, did you lie when you made a shahakal on the milk? No. But was it necessary? No. Because we know ikar and tafal. That also could be a very serious Torah violation. There's also halachos of kavod bracha, making brachos with the proper respect, holding the food in your right hand, nothing in your mouth, the preferential order of food, whether you make the bracha on the thing that's more beloved, more complete, more important, more clean. The Mishabur and Kuf Samech Zayin talks about the importance of having salt with the bread in order to enhance the food that's getting a bracha. We have to cut the bread at a certain point because it has to be, the bracha has to be in the best possible way, making sure it's right before the food is eaten. And there's long discussions in Shulchan Aruch about who should make the bracha to lead people in certain types of brachos. On the other hand, it is also very serious if a person misses a bracha. The Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, beginning of Perek Ketzon Mevarchim, says that a person who doesn't make a bracha when they should is a gazlan. You're a robber from Knesset Yisrael, from the Jewish people. So there's a Medrash Tanchuma we're going to discuss more at the end of the shiur, Bezos Hashem, that says that the midah of a rush of a terrible person is to not make brachos on things in their life. Wow. The Gemara Nedarim says that for not reciting a Birchas HaTorah, we were sent into Galus, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Perhaps we'll discuss why when we discuss the union of Birchas HaTorah. When it comes to mitzvos, a bracha on a mitzvah completes a mitzvah. The Brisker Rav says, and he cites a Mishnah in Trumas. The Mishnah in Trumas says if you're separating Trumas and Maestros, so if you're not dressed properly, if you're not covered properly, you cannot separate Truma. Why? Who cares? Who cares how I'm dressed? So the Mishnah says, because if I'm not dressed properly, I can't make a bracha. And if I can't make a bracha, says the Brisker Rav, then that Birchas HaMitzvah is lacking and the mitzvah itself is lacking. That's how far we see a bracha goes. It's a lack in the mitzvah that you're performing if you don't perform the bracha beforehand. Because the Mishnah Truma says you can't separate Truma if you can't make that bracha beforehand. Now, to really build up the importance of what a bracha is, let's talk about the prohibition of a bracha levatala. There's a machlokas rishonim. As to whether a bracha levatala is an isur d'oraisa or an isur d'rabbanan. The Rosh and Tosis and Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis say that making a bracha shen etzricha, a bracha levatala, is asumi d'rabbanan. It's forbidden by the rabbis. Brachas are not from the Torah, brachas from the rabbis. And therefore, if you make a bracha levatala, it's an isur d'rabbanan. And the Gemara in Brachas Lamed Gimel that seems to say it's a violation of the Ten Commandments. So that's an asmachta. An asmachta is what we refer to as a pasuk in the Torah that the rabbis find in order to support their law. However, the Rambam, according to many, many achronim, understands the Gemara at face value, that a bracha levatala is an isur d'oraisa, Torah violation. In fact, says the Rambam, a bracha levatala is worse than simply saying God's name for no reason. Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Perek Aleph of Hilchos Brachos, Kol mevarach bracha shenot tzricha, whoever makes a bad bracha, hareza no se shem shemayim l'shav. You are taking God's name in vain. V'harehu kishnishba l'shav. It is as if you are swearing falsely. V'asur la'anos achrav amen. You cannot answer amen. In the eyes of the Rambam, it is worse for you to go and make a bracha levatala than to go and say Hashem's name, Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey, for no reason. It's worse than that. That's how severe it is. We need to understand why. Why is it worse for me to go and make a shahakol, you know, on a CD, which is ridiculous, and a bracha levatala, than for me to go and walk down the middle of, you know, Peninsula, or walk down West Broadway, there's nobody there anyway, but to walk down the middle of the street, and to start, you know, saying, you know, Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud. What? Why is that worse? We are so trained from a young age to never say those words. We know it's the worst thing we could do. Bracha levatala, oops, I made a bracha levatala, whoopsie, you know, whatever, I'll fix up next time, God, we're good. The Rambam says, no, it's much worse. We have to understand why. So the Magen Avraham, in Siman Reish Tes Vav, and Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger, understand that the Rambam is arguing with Tosos, and there is a lav d'oraisa involved. Okay? The Chazon Ish argues, maybe the Rambam doesn't say it's midoraisa, and Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger goes further. We've been hearing a lot about Rabbi Akiva Eger in the last few weeks, because Rabbi Akiva Eger played a central role in the cholera epidemic that ravaged Europe in 1831, and Rabbi Akiva Eger played a very important role in setting halachic precedent and taking care of people who were sick. So Rabbi Akiva Eger has become a very prominent figure in discussions recently. He's always a prominent figure in all situations, but the particularly here, we've been discussing a lot about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So in the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he goes further and he says that even if you make a bracha in your vernacular, in your native language, you violate the third commandment of Lo Sisa, because the Rambam compares a bracha to an oath. You can violate making an improper oath in any language. So too, if you said, you know, blessed art thou, God, Lord, King of the universe, but use Hashem's name in English, that would also be it. That's so severe. And this requires a further investigation as to why Bracha Levatala is so bad. On the contrary, I'm praising Hashem. I made a mistake, right? I meant to make a shahakol on something, but instead I made a hamotzi. Okay, whatever. You know, I messed up the order of bircha. I said a bircha sashachar when I was supposed to say a bracha shon esrei. Okay, I'm praising Hashem. What's so bad? Now, they discuss what the severity is, but I want to give a different approach tonight. And we need to begin with what we said last time regarding the word baruch. A bracha is not merely a praise, right? A bracha is a statement of our understanding that all of the shefa, all of the goodness in the world only comes from Hashem. And this is including the concept of tefillah and how tefillah brings shefa, goodness into the world, and why we daven, which we'll discuss another time. It is the Ratzon Hashem to give more goodness to the world. We know that Hashem put us in the world to give us goodness and to give us shefa. To go back to the Tshuvas HaRashba we discussed last time, says the Rashba, V'kacha inyan habrachos she'anu modim lefanav. This is the point of brachos that we thank Hashem. Al bezenosa v'al tovos hamagios lanu me'iso yisparach. For all of the food and all of the goodness that comes to him, comes from us, from Hashem. U'mispalim she'yas mituvo. And we are davening that he should always give his goodness and his bracha. Kedei she'yedu ha'kol, that everybody should know, shu barach. Right? When we say baruch ata Hashem, we're saying is, Hashem, you are the source of all goodness in the world. There's a beautiful Malbim, the Malbim on Tehillim, in the beginning of what we'll call Ashrei. But if you've had me, you know that it's not really Ashrei. You know that it's really Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei. It's the 145th chapter of Tehillim. Ashrei is really misnomer, because Ashrei is a pasuk that's added from someplace else in Tehillim. So look at the Malbim over here. Aromimcha Elokai Hamelech. That's how we begin Ashrei, correct? I will praise Hashem, the King. Says the Malbim, Sha'ata Elokei Mitzad Atzmecha, Meromei Mikol Brachotila. You, my God, on your own, are above all blessing and all praise. Ulam, Avracha Shemecha. Even though you are Aromimcha, you're above everything, I'm still going to bless your name. Shemitzad Shimcha, because from the perspective of your name, what does that mean? Shuha Pirsum Shnis Parsemes Aladein Haga. Hashem's name means the way he acts in the world, right? We know, we learned enough Tanakh Baruch Hashem that we know that, you know, Yud Kei Vav Kei means Midas HaChesed, Aleph Dalet and Yud means, you know, Midas HaDin. We know the names of Hashem reflect his attributes, right? So when we use the name of Hashem, we are talking about the way Hashem conducts himself in the world. Mitzad Zevarchaka, I will praise you because of the way you conduct yourself in this world. That's why I will praise you. V'geder HaBracha Shemavarchem Es Hashem. And the idea of a bracha in which you bless Hashem is who Hashefa Hatov Hayorein Meis Hashem. The reason we make a bracha, says the Malbim, is because of the goodness that comes from Hashem al olamo into his world, ayadei tzidkas hatachanunav, through the righteousness of our supplications. Ata makor habracha batov, you are the source of all goodness. V'yisineyu kemelech hanistar b'chvodo merome mikol sari avadov, you are like a king who's hidden but above all of his officers. V'chose yotze mito brach, but nevertheless the king gives to his people, v'tov l'chol amo v'adei kach no d'shma mabarach. And that's how it becomes known. I don't love the king because we're buddies and we hang out. I love the king because of how he provides for me and what he does for me. And therefore, Amimcha Elokai Melech Avracha Shimcha. Even though you are Romeim, you're above us, Hashem, we can never relate to you, but I can praise you and I can make your ways known in the world by describing all of the goodness you give to me. And that's the purpose of bracha. The purpose of a bracha, as we said before, is to connect creation to the Creator. Now, a bracha directs creation towards Hashem. Let's look at a Maharal. Okay? Let's look at a Maharal. The Maharal repeats this idea in a number of places. For us, we're going to look at the Maharal in the Nesivos Olam, in the Nesiv HaAvodim Perek Yud Dalet, The Nesivas Olam is like the Maharal's encyclopedia of Hashkafa, where he goes through different topics and he explains them in his own unique fashion. The Nesiva Avod is about Tefillah. He also says, if you would like to look it up, in the Derech Chaim, his Perashim Berkei Avos, in Perek Gimel in Mishnah Ches. Let's look at the Maharal. The Maharal says, Hakol Nivra L'Shameses Hashem Yisparach. Everything is created to serve Hashem. Ki Hakol Bara L'Chavodo. Because everything is created for Hashem's honor Yisparach. Ki Min HaNivraim Kulam U'Mibriyosam Nira Kavod Ma'asav. Because through Hashem's creation, we see the glory of God in His actions. V'lekach hakol kodesh el Hashem yisbarach. Everything is holy to Hashem. Hashem made the world. Everything is consecrated. Everything is kodesh. Just like things belong to the Beis HaMikdash, so too, everything belongs to Hashem. K'mo shar kodshei shemayim, shem mishamayim, el Hashem yisbarach, k'mo she'amarnu. Hashem is kodesh, and everything created for the world is by Hashem. And really, anything that belongs to Hashem, you can't use. It belongs to Hashem. It's like using the property of the Beis HaMikdash. However, aval, kasher bara hakol lechvodo, v'hu makir es Hashem yisparach mefo'al yadav. When you praise Hashem, when you praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you praise Hashem for what Hashem does in this world, so you are recognizing that Hashem is blessed in the sense that He is the creator of everything, and that His purpose was in order to bestow what He created on others. Hine devar zehu kvod Hashem yisparach. The greatest glory that you can give to Hashem is to recognize and to tell the world that He's the source of everything. Gam kein dahinu habracha al hapri shebaro ulekach yotze hapri lechulin. So he says the Maharal, for example, says the Maharal, when you make a bracha on a fruit, and you tell the world, Hashem made this bracha, made this fruit, and I praise Hashem for what He did and made this fruit to the world. So you are fulfilling the idea of Hakol Bara L'Chvodo. You've taken this aspect of creation and you've said, I'm turning it into a piece to praise Hashem in the world, that He's the creator of the world. And he says, Kasher Adam Nosein Bracha Al Hashem Yisparach Asher Bara Oso Kizet Murazah. You're making an exchange. Hashem made this fruit. So when you make a bracha, what you're saying is this fruit speaks of Hashem's glory in the world. It is delicious. It contains DNA. It regenerates by itself. This fruit is an amazing, amazing recognition of Hashem's creation in the world. But when I replace it, when I make a bracha and I say, you know what? I tell everybody, hey, guys, Hashem made this fruit and He is the source of all good in the world. So I'm making an exchange. I'm saying, now I can take this fruit because I've given something to replace it that speaks to Hashem's glory in this world. The Ramchal writes something similarly in the Derech Hashem. The very last piece in the Derech Hashem, the very last piece, the Ramchal writes about benching. And the Ramchal writes that everything that exists in nature is a detail in the overall goal to bring completeness and perfection to the world. Everything in this world is meant to bring perfection to the world. When we use things for a mundane purpose, for our mundane desires, when we go out and we use the world just to fill our taiva and our extraneous things for no reason, so that's misusing the world. So therefore, says the Ramchal, if we're going to enjoy the food of this world, we must direct the food towards its purpose. And what is the purpose of everything? The service of Hashem. This is the purpose of a bracha, says Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. A bracha is meant to focus us on the reality that this good that we have in front of us in our lives comes from Hashem. And this thing that we are making a bracha for is not simply a material good, but this, whether it's a food or whether it's a shirt, whether it's a yontif, whatever it is you're making a bracha on, it's all something prepared by Hashem for the ultimate purpose in this world. And we are saying, Hashem, you gave us this time, this mitzvah, this food, to make this world a better place, and that's what I'm doing. I'm showing you that I'm fulfilling this purpose in the world. And when we frame everything we do with a bracha, i.e. we focus that this thing was given to us by Hashem to bring godliness into the world, then that thing or action becomes something tov and not something ra. Okay. So we see that the purpose of a bracha is to connect creation to Hashem. I want to share with you a medrash that I'm sure you've never seen before. Because this medrash is not found in any book of medrash. It is only quoted by the Avudraham in the beginning of his Perush on Tefillah, in Perek Gimel. He quotes a medrash that we don't have the original source from. Let's look at the medrash. Uba medrash omer, minayin shizochim es Hashem. Where do we know that we remember Hashem? Shne amar, baruch ata Hashem, lamdeni chukacha. Blesses Hashem, teach me your ways. Uksiv, and it says at the end of Dvarim, kishem Hashem ekra. And also, that I call out to Hashem. The name of Hashem. Uminayin shomer malchus. How do I know when I make a bracha, I mention malchus, Hashem's kingship? Shneamar aromimch elokai hamelach. Which is similar to what the Malbim said before. A bracha, says this medrash, is a form of kriyas Hashem. Kishem Hashem ekra. When I make a bracha, I'm using Hashem's name. That Hashem now appears before us as having such an appearance, right? When I make a bracha on, Malbish Arumim in the morning, what I'm saying is, the name of Hashem right now is that He clothes people. That's Hashem's name. And when I make a bracha on a fruit, I'm saying is that the name of Hashem right now is that He is Pri-Hayetz. One who sees lightning and thunder, right? I'm sure everybody yesterday heard lightning and thunder, saw lightning and heard thunder, right? So when I make the bracha of Shekocho Ugvurasa Maliolam, what I'm saying is, the reality is, the name of Hashem right now is Kocho Ugvurasa Maliolam. That's how I'm describing Hashem. When a person wants to enjoy a fruit, I'm painting a picture that Hashem is Borei Pri Ha'etz. That is His name right now. So a Jew who's making a bracha is labeling Hashem with the shevach and the description that He's giving him. And a bracha, therefore, this is so important, a bracha is not simply thanks for what Hashem does. If that was the case, then I'll give you an example. In the beginning of Birchas Kriya Shema, we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech, who creates light and creates darkness, right? If I wanted to simply praise Hashem and thank Hashem, what would I say? Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, She'ata Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech, that you go and do this. But it's not what we're saying. We are describing Hashem. Hashem, your name is Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech, because that's how I experience your reality in the world. We don't make brachos describing what Hashem does. We make brachos describing what Hashem is. And that is the key. If there's a takeaway line, we don't make brachos describing what Hashem does. We make brachos describing what Hashem is. A bracha is meant to highlight Hashem in this world and to get us to pay attention in everything that happens to us and in everything that we come across. We're meant to find Hashem. And when we are inspired and awakened in this world, we're meant to see Hashem running the show from behind the scenes. And this, I think, is why a person cannot simply make a bracha whenever he feels like it. Why can I? I want to praise Hashem. I want to praise something nice happened. I want to praise Hashem. Why can I make a bracha whenever I want? Because only Chazal had the ability and the Ruach HaKodesh and the Nevuah to give a geder, to give a definition to describe Hashem. Who else has such a chutzpah to go and describe Hashem? Who knows what Hashem is about? Not every person has the right or the ability to give Kriyas Hashem, to call Hashem's name to the Ribono Sha'olam. And that's why a bracha is very different. And this is why I think a bracha levatala is worse than simply saying Hashem's name. Because, at least according to the Rambam, because making a bracha levatala is not just mentioning Hashem's name. It is a misuse and an abuse of the description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're mislabeling Hashem right now. On the other hand, mentioning the name of Hashem improperly is a zilzul, it's a lack of Yiras Shemayim. But it's not an abuse of Hashem's name. That's much worse. And that's why a bracha levatala is so bad. Because you are mistakenly and mislabeling Hashem's attribute and you're misnaming Hashem. Again, a bracha is meant to highlight what Hashem is, and that's what we're doing when we make brachas, whether it's davening, whether it's food, whether it's on thunder and lightning. We are labeling Hashem, Baruch Ata Hashem, you are this thing. Now, I just want to end with a comment about Mea Brachos, making 100 brachos every day. Now, just to be clear, I'm aware there's a major machlokas aposkum that the women are chayiv in 100 brachos every day. Some are machmir, some are mekel. Essentially, the machlokas comes down to those who are machmir for women to make 100 brachos a day say, it's not a time by mitzvah. Women also need Yiras Shamayim, as we'll discuss. David HaMelech, as we know, needed to save Klal Yisrael from a plague, similar to what we're going through right now, and he enacted 100 brachos, and that applies to women. So it's not entirely clear, why women don't make 100 brachos a day. The simple reason is because it's very difficult. If you don't daven Maariv, it's very difficult to make 100 brachos a day, because you're out, 20-something brachos. Okay, but if you can make 100 brachos a day, then by all means, it's a good thing to do. Let's explain why. A bit of hashkafa about 100 brachos a day. In Shmuel Beis, we are told that David HaMelech was hukam al Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. And the gematria al is 100, and the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Korach says that David was masakin 100 brachos in order to stop the plague that was ravaging Klal Yisrael. And this is cited by the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Mishnah Berurah and all the poskim as well, that 100 brachos a day is supposed to keep the plague away. Now, if you look in Tehillim, you all know this pasuk in Tehillim, Lo hamesim yahalalu ka v'lo kol yordei duma. The deceased, the dead, cannot praise Hashem. V'anachnu nevarach ka mi'atav yad olam haluka. But we praise Hashem. So what do we see? That the opposite of mesim is v'anachnu nevarach ka, right? The opposite of those who are dead or those who praise Hashem. So let's turn back to this medrash. The medrash says in Bezos HaBracha, Rasha b'chayiv chashiv kemes. A Rasha in his lifetime is considered dead. He sees the sun shining, he doesn't say Yotzer Or. Shokos Veinu Mevarach Maravam. He sees the sun set, he doesn't say Mariv Aravim. Ochel V'shos Veinu Mevarach Lai. He eats and drinks, it doesn't make a bracha. Aval HaTzadikim, but the righteous, Mevarachim Al Kol Davar V'davar, Sheochlin. They make a bracha on everything they eat. V'shosim, they drink. V'sharon, V'shomim, they see and they hear. A Rasha is considered dead because he doesn't see the sun rise and doesn't make Yotzer Moros. And he doesn't say Marav Aravim. And he eats and drinks and he doesn't make a bracha. What's the point? So there's a comment from Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky was the Rosh Yiv in Panovich. This is brought in the Shirei Rav Shmuel on Makos and Daf Yud. And he explains the difference between someone who's alive and something that's not alive. He says, something that's not alive, a domain, a rock, or something that's deceased, has no more purpose anymore. A rock is a rock from the beginning of its life to the end of its life. Nothing changes. But a chai, a being that's alive, needs more chias all the time, more purpose, more reason, more constant motivation to keep going. A tzaddik constantly sees newness and excitement in his life each and every day. There are new niflos Hashem. There are new amazing things that go on in your life all the time. That Shoa Kadosh Baruch Hu is Chei HaOlamim, the one who gives life to the world. But Rishayim are called Mesim, they're dead, because they lack Chias. They have no life, they have nothing to see in the world. They're not shaken and inspired by the world around them. They're not shaken by a coronavirus. They're inspired by people who are doing superhuman things to help those around him. They don't see a place for Bracha and Shevach in the world. Nothing in the world speaks to them and inspires them to the reality that there's something running the world. And just like a rock doesn't need a new reason to exist, so too the shining of the sun and all of its gifts doesn't excite this person. To those people, David HaMelech says, Lo hamesim yahaluka. You are ki'ilu dead. You're dead. Because what are you doing in this world? When David saw there was a plague, he sensed that there was a problem of Rishayim b'chayim kriyim mesim. That the people, there's death in this world because they're not praising Hashem enough. People saw the rising of the sun and they weren't reciting Yotzer Or. He made sure that we would say 100 brachos and to bless everything so we should recognize Hashem as the giver of life and the one who runs creation. The brachos teach a person that creation is not stagnant. It's filled with life of the Chei HaOlamim, the giver of this world in every detail. Whether it's Yotzer Or, Borei Pri Ha'Eitz, Malbish Arumim, Meichin Mitzadei Gaver, there's nothing in this world that is simply is. Rather, everything is the Chesed of Hashem filling the universe. Tzadikim are called Chaim because when they make brachos on everything, Everything speaks to them as a sign of Hashem behind the scenes. And whatever happens in this world is only another sign of the revelation of Kvod Hashem. This eventually leads a person to a place where everything in this world is a hechi timsa, a stepping stone, a vehicle to reveal Shem Hashem and Kvod Shemayim. And that is the purpose of a bracha. I think we've explained it at length. I think we brought enough proofs. The purpose of a bracha, again, going forward, we want to talk about tefillah specifically, not food. But the purpose of a bracha, if you're going to count sfira tonight, so when you count sfira, the purpose of the bracha on sfira is to say that Hashem created a point in the universe in order for us to count time and to sanctify time. And that is what Hashem wants of us, and that is what Hashem's role is now in the world. And I thank Hashem that He gives this to us, this opportunity to us in the world. And I see something that speaks to me on a beautiful level. Every single bracha needs to be that, to show that Hashem is the creator of the world, and that Hashem runs this world, and that we have to recognize that Hashem is running everything from behind the scenes, and sometimes even in front of the scenes. Okay, we will stop here. Continue Be'ezras Hashem next time with.